I wonder what he's going to be talking about today in Galatians. It will be a little different today. In Galatians 4:12, he's going to try a different approach. He's going to try a different approach to try to help them understand about the freedom that you have with God and also in love. There was a form that this older woman was writing, and on this form it said, "Did your marital status change?" And he wrote, "Yes, older and better." That's good. His wife saw that. She looked and she saw that, and she was kind of like, "Yeah, I like that." You know why older and better? Because they had learned to love each other well, and that can be the story of your relationships too. Older and better. In fact, we're going to find today that there are 7 habits of highly effective lovers that you're going to find in any relationship to make it better over the years. You will find that if you don't follow these things, that you're going to end up having relationship problems. Now, not only for marriages, but for just people. And in the passage that Paul writes this morning, he is writing on a very personal level to these folks. He's going to describe some issues and things between them. And that's where we get these principles of how they loved each other. Now, we're studying the book of Galatians together, and so far the Apostle Paul has appealed to the heads of the people. In other words, the logic. Like he went in several different ways, he's appealed to the logic. In other words, the Scripture says that, the Old Testament Scripture says this, and he's logically presenting the case for freedom versus the law. Well, now he's going to appeal to their hearts. He's going to say, "You know me. We love each other. And I want you to have the freedom that I have." Now, I will tell you something. I get very not mad. I get aggravated. I don't know the word, but there are some people who are so law-centered, and I'm talking about missionary Baptists, that are so law-centered that they can't get past and become free from the law. You've got to do this, this, and this, and this. And I face it not with ordinary people, but I face it with other preachers. And they're so ingrained in the rules of worship, the rules of the law. You've got to act this way, you've got to dress this way, you've got to be this way, that I get so aggravated at it. Not because I'm aggravated at them, but I get aggravated because I want them to have the freedom that I have. The freedom to love someone who is unlovable. If you put these other things in between you and that person, you cannot love them in the freedom that you need to love them in order to help them. I have been on a journey all my life. I was one of those people who said, "Well, you can't do this and you can't do that." That was the atmosphere I grew up in. And slowly, as the years have gone by, I have gained some of the freedom that I already have. And I still struggle with it. I still have to look at it from the eyes of Paul and saying, all things are lawful. All things are expedient. And so I've been on this journey all of my life to do this. And so as I go through Galatians, it's not a matter of saying, "You dummies, you need to follow the God's grace." It's a matter of, "I love you, and I want you to break free from the things that are hindering you from loving the way you need to love, from caring the way you need to love." This is the point that we're getting to. And today's message, Freedom's Love, we're going to share some things that will help you break free from the chains that are keeping you from loving everyone. In Galatians 4:12, he starts out and he goes, "Brothers, I urge you to become like me, because for I became like you. You have not injured me at all." What Paul is saying is we have a good relationship. We love each other. And I want you to be free like me. He says, "For I became a Jew." When Paul, as a Jew, came to Galatia, he didn't expect the Gentiles to conform to the Jewish ways for them to be in a relationship with him. On the contrary, Paul conformed to their ways. He adapted himself with him. On the contrary, he changed himself without demanding that he change for them to become his friends. If I was to go as a missionary to a much foreign country, like Hawaii, no. Let's say the Middle East. If that's where God was leading me, no idea is Lord. Okay. But if that's where God is leading me, would I have to adapt to the culture, be like them in order for them to hear me and listen to me? Do you think that we could transplant our ABA Missionary Baptist Church there in the middle of Saudi Arabia and everything be fine? Ladies, you would have to cover your faces. That's the way you do it. Paul says, "When I went to Galatia, I became as you. I became as you." In 1 Corinthians 9, Paul says, "I made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jew, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, so as to win those not having the law. I became all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some." Well, good missionary Baptist would be found dead in that place. Well, why? Well, you're a witness. No, if you go and you're being a witness at that place that typically we wouldn't say that would be a good place for you to be, and you're witnessing, you better not judge. God may have sent him. Jesus went and sat at the same table and had supper with sinners. Wow. And there, you know what he got? He got criticized for it. He says, "I will become all things to all men, by all possible means, to win some." To save some. But we too often have set back and we have said, "No, we can't do that. I won't go there. I won't do that because that wouldn't be right." We need to get free. We need to love more. We need to have the same attitude that Paul has. So Paul adjusted himself to the people he was trying to reach, and that's what we must do if we want to become highly effective lovers of people and of sinners. The first thing we must do is we must adjust ourselves. We must adjust ourselves. Adapt. Change yourself for others. Change yourself, brother, without demanding that they change for you. What does that mean? Well, I've got an example. A woman in a wheelchair was concerned that her date would not be able to lift her out of her wheelchair. So she started trying to lose weight to make it easier for her. For him. And at the same time, you know what he was doing? He was out there lifting weights so he could become stronger so that he could pick her up easily. That's true love. the adjusting of your life for someone that you love. And if you want your relationships to improve, then adjust yourselves to those that you love. Don't demand that they adjust to you.
Wow.
That's pretty marriage counseling 101. After 35 years of marriage, there's been some adjustments. She's changed a whole lot. I'm in trouble. It was nice knowing her. You have to make adjustments in your life. You want to love people. The second thing is accept others as they are. Accept others as they are. Receive them. Welcome them even in their imperfections. And that's how the Galatians received Paul. Let's look at verses 13 and 14. It says, you know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. When Paul came to Galatia, many Bible scholars believe that he had malaria. His thorn in the flesh probably was malaria. My opinion, can't prove it. It was not his mother-in-law, as those some had suggested. He had just come to a town near the southern coast of what now is Turkey. It's a low, swampy area. Makes good breeding grounds for mosquitoes, which carries malaria. And now malaria itself is a terrible disease, and the one who suffers with it has periodic bouts with chills, fever, nausea every 48 to 72 hours, and after every attack, the person who has it is weak and feeling absolute wasted until the next attack. It's also a repulsive disease. There's theory that John Mark was traveling, when he was traveling with Paul at the time, says Mark left Paul in Perga and went home. Maybe it was because he was afraid he was going to get sick too. We don't know. Maybe he said his missionary life was not for me. He might have been repulsed by Paul's illness, but not the people of Galatia. When Paul left the low, swampy areas of Perga, he escaped into the mountain areas of Galatia. The people welcomed him as an angel of God. They did not scorn or despise him. Literally, that means spit upon him. On the contrary, when he got there, they opened their homes to him. They listened attentively to his message. They accepted him just as he was, even though he might have been deathly sick from malaria. And that's what you must do in order, if you want to be a highly effective lover of people. And you must accept people the way they are, unconditionally, even with their imperfections. Even with their imperfections. How many of us have turned someone away from our lives, refused to love someone because they had an imperfection? You're going to be lonely. We all have imperfections. But some imperfections are worse than others, right? Some imperfections are worse. Not to God. Real love does not berate loved ones for their imperfections. It just serves accepting people for who they are, just like God does for us. He loves us unconditionally, and that's the kind of love that will set people free. Unconditional love, unconditional acceptance. We let God take care of the imperfections in their life as we will let God take care of the imperfections in our lives. And yes, we have. I was very upset with a friend of mine who was online, who made fun, who was making public fun of someone, someone that we know in a public way. Because of the way they look. Yeah, do we have problems, issues? Yes, they need to work on. Yes, but we love them. We don't turn them away because of their imperfections. The third thing that we find here that we've got to do, a principle that we find, in order to love people the way we need to sacrifice yourself for those you love. Sacrifice yourself for those you love. Give up what is most precious to you. Surrender all or part of yourself for the sake of the one loved. And that's what the Galatian brothers, believers, were willing to do for Paul. Look in verse 15. In verse 15, what then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. He says, when I was there, you would have done anything for me. It's interesting that he makes mention of the eyes here, isn't it? Malaria often affects the eyesight. And in Paul's case, it probably did. At the end of the book, chapter 6, verse 11, Paul writes, see what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. He wrote with large letters because he couldn't see very well. But the Galatian believers would have plucked their own eyes out and given them to Paul if they knew it would help. What they were willing to do is, have you ever been with someone that you love that was hurting and you just wish that you could take their place? That's what Paul's saying. Someone who's struggling. You just wish that sometimes you could just take their place. Or do you say, thank God I'm not like them. Thank goodness I'm better than that. Thank goodness I don't have that problem. Thank goodness I'm a lot better person. They were willing to give, look, you know, theoretically, hypothetically speaking, take their eyes and give it to Paul so he can see. They were willing to sacrifice themselves for Paul. And that's what you must do if you're willing to become a highly effective lover. Husband and wife, when they were first married, they had some old debt, had accompanied their new marriage. The income was unpredictable at best. And Christmas couples, other couples buy furniture and go through. They agreed to exchange gifts that cost no money. And the wife says, 100 times I forced myself not to buy the perfect jacket for her husband or the perfect dress for herself. She says, my inner Grinch has stolen Christmas. And from me, she says, here it is, our first Christmas together. We can't even afford that. Then she awoke Christmas morning to find a large package on the kitchen table. And she says, you promised you wouldn't spend any money on me. And he grinned and says, I didn't. Not one penny. Instead, he had sold his racket, his most cherished possession, by his wife, a blender. And she cried. It wasn't her dream gift. She could have lived her entire life without a blender. But she cried because her husband had sacrificed something of himself for her. She went to bed that night praising God, thinking, said, thank you for making us poor. Otherwise, I'd never know how rich I truly am. Relationships are enriched when lovers make sacrifices for each other. Relationships are enriched when lovers give up something special to the one they love. It's important. I'm trying to think of what God sacrificed for us. What was it? What was it that God gave up for us so that we could have something very special? Oh, the cost must have been tremendous. For God so loved the world, us, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He sent his own Son. He sacrificed his own Son. That's how Jesus treats us. Even while we were still sinners, he gave up heaven for us. He gave up his dignity. He gave up his glory. He gave up his life just so that we could have a relationship with him. So if we're going to be highly effective lovers of people, we're going to have to learn to sacrifice to do without. The fourth thing we find here is speak the truth. Speak the truth. Be honest with those people that you love. Lovingly share the facts even if it hurts. And that's what Paul did for the believers in Galatia. He sees them headed in a direction that's going to ruin their lives. So in love, he warns them to head in a different direction. In verse 16, he says this. Verse 16, he says, "Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Do you know how many people that are angry at me because I dare to tell the truth? I say angry, they just don't want to be around me. They don't want to hear me. But that's what we must do. You see, I don't think the Galatians necessarily like what Paul was telling them. You had a group of people who were trying to follow the Jewish law, and they were getting into it, and they're all excited. They're probably growing, and Paul says, "Stop." And he wrote all this, and he says, "Hey, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" But he said it anyway. Why would you say something that somebody wouldn't like? That you know is going to make them upset. But in order for you to be a highly effective lover of people, you've got to be willing to speak the truth in love, even if it hurts. Sure, we are called upon to accept people and love people unconditionally. But that doesn't mean you let them hurt themselves. No. You're heading off of. I understand you have every right to try to, to go that direction in your life, even though it's going to end disastrously, and I really can't do that. I can't judge, and I really can't say, yes, you can. And we must, if we love them, we must tell them. We must tell them. Truth, true love, is not blind. Do you hear me? True love is not blind. It's not blind to the truth. Be willing to speak the truth in love. Matter of fact, on the contrary, it acknowledges that the truth, even when it's painful. In Proverbs 27:6, it says this, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." If you're doing something wrong, and you know you're doing something wrong, you got people patting you on the back and saying, "You just go get them," that they're not your friends. If your life is headed in the wrong direction and you've got people who are coming up to you, the first time we learned this in brokenness. If you've got two or three people coming to you and saying you've got a problem, you better start listening because you probably do. Okay? But if you've got people saying, "Yeah, you ain't got no problem, come on, let's go do some more," guess what? They're not your friends. And they're the kisses of an enemy. The people that love you will tell you the truth. Watch it when your enemy flatters you. He's got some ulterior motive. On the other hand, a friend who really loves you will always tell the truth, even if it wounds you, even if it's hard for you to hear. There's a mother of five from Illinois. She took her daughter, Kristen, who's 9, out for a mother-daughter breakfast, and during the meal, the mother courageously asked her daughter, she says, "How do you think that I could be a better mom?" And the little girl looked at her and said, "Well, you do yell a lot, and I know you've been praying about that, but it really isn't working yet." That little girl told her mother the truth. And that must have been hard for the mother to hear. But that's what people in healthy relationships do. Speak the truth. This next thing that we're going to find, I think is probably the most important thing that we can do in our relationships, and that is set people free. Relinquish control of those who we love. Allow them to make their own decisions. Essentially, you must let them go. The false teachers in Galatia were doing just the opposite. They were trying to control the believers there. Can you imagine if the preacher got into your lives and started trying to micromanage your life and saying, God won't, no, God, this is, you need to stop this, you need to start doing this. God wants you to go here, God. There are those who did that. Micromanage, try to match the lives of the flock, if you will. Get into their business. That's what the teachers of the law were trying to do. Get into the business of the people in Galatia. They were trying to enslave them. In Galatians 4:17, it says this. They zealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you, that ye may be zealous for them. In other words, they just wanted to add to their numbers. They just wanted to try to get everybody to do their way of thinking. Wow. The false teachers wanted to alienate the new believers in Galatia from Paul. They wanted to separate his message from these people. They wanted to create a new relationship of dependency and bondage only to them. But not so with Paul. Verse 18 says this, but it is good to be zealous in a good thing always, and not only when I am present with you. Paul didn't care if people zealously followed other leaders, if it was for a good thing. Listen, there should be no jealousy when it comes to the cause of Christ. If there's someone that can talk to, minister to someone else better than me, I'm all for it, as long as it's for the good cause, for the cause of Christ. He didn't want people to try to control him. He didn't want people to try to set, he wanted them to be set free. So in your relationships, you need to set people free. Give your mate permission to say no. And if they do say no, don't try to change it by shouting, pouting, withholding affection until you get your way. Give your mate permission to say no without it adversely affecting your relationship. You see, effective lovers don't try to manipulate the situation to get their way. They set people free in their relationships without trying to control one another. Chuck Swindoll said this in one of his books. He said, we tend to clutch, not release. Put people in our frame and not allow them any breathing holes unless and until they accept the shape of our holes. Grace, on the other hand, means we are allowed people the freedom to choose regardless. Grace means I will not force or manipulate or judge or attempt to control you, nor should you do those things to me. That is unhealthy relationships. Freedom to choose. Chose to not follow God. Chose to go somewhere else to worship. And I have to make a decision. Do I follow, beg, try to make them conform, try to make them reevaluate their decision? No. I will talk to them. Should I beg? Should I try to manipulate? Well, I will let you have this class. I'll let you do this. We'll let you have this office if you'll just. That's not the way this love thing works. The sixth thing is suffer when the one you love suffers. Suffer when others suffer. Hurt when they hurt. Ache when they ache. Cry when they cry. When the one you love is being hurt, feel their pain. And that's how Paul felt about the believers of Galatia. There were false teachers teaching them wrong things about the law. They were leading them into a life of bondage. And it brings Paul real pain. He says in verse 19, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed with you. I'm going to say about half of y'all understand what that feels like. I'm not going to pretend to know. Childbirth. He says, I have the pains of childbirth. I'm not sure how Paul knew what it felt like, but I'm sure that he saw the agony, the pain in the process of a woman giving birth. And he says, I feel that kind of pain for you. It feels like I'm giving birth. The first time he labored to see them free from the law of sin, and now he's laboring again. I mean, he's already won this battle once. He's already said, this is it. He won the battle, and they were free to worship God without the chains of the law. And then all of a sudden, he goes away for a while, and then he hears that they're starting to do it again, and there's that feeling in his gut, and it hurts. Paul hurts because his children are hurting, and that's what we must do if we want to be a highly effective lover. You must suffer when the one that you love suffers, and we don't always know what to do when someone we love is hurting. That's one of the things I wish I could help. I don't know what to do. You know what? Probably the best thing we can do is cry. Not in a manipulative way, but tears of sorrow. Hurt. And others hurt. Then the last thing, spend time with those you love. Be there and be present. That was Paul's desire. Verse 20. He says, I wish to be present with you now and change my tone. For I have doubts about you. I can imagine what that must have been like for the Galatian churches to read that. I have doubts about you. Paul wanted to be with his little children, his children in the faith. That's what you must do if you want to be a highly effective lover of people. You can't love people from a distance. True love is spelled T-I-M-E, and it involves time spent with the one you love. As a teenager tired of reading bedtime stories to his little sister, decided to record several of her favorite stories. He told her, Now you can hear the stories anytime you want. Isn't that great? I mean, just plugging in, I don't even have to be there. She looked at the recorder for a moment, and then she replied, no, it doesn't have a lap. It doesn't have a lap. You see, love needs a lap. It needs the personal presence of a lover. What Paul's saying is that we need to be free to love. We need to get rid of all this stuff. Be that kind of lover, then you must adapt these habits. You must adjust to those that you love. You must accept those you love unconditionally. You must sacrifice those that you love. You must speak the truth. You must set people free. You must suffer when the people you love suffer, and you need to spend time with them. That's what love is. And when you can love someone in that way, can't you talk to them about anything? Can't you? If you break in all the barriers, and you can talk to them about God, you can talk to them about how they too can be set free in this life through God. In a word, you need to demonstrate grace in all of your relationships. Not law. If you do this, if you'll clean up your act, if you'll do this, then I will love you. No way. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Not for us. Not for what God has done for us. You see, love freely and love without condition. You see, it sets people free to be all that God intends for them to be. That's the power of true, grace-filled love. And that's what I want for each one of us, is to be free. To love people the way that God loves you. And I hope and pray that we can be that. Because if we can be that, God will be able to use us to love people we never thought we could love, to reach people that we never thought that we could reach. Be the people we never thought we could reach. As we stand and prepare for an invitation, I don't know your heart, I don't know your life, I don't know but I can tell you, God loves you. He loves you. He desires your time. If you say, well, that's all fine. about other people. But are you following these same principles when you're when you say you love God? Are you sacrificing? Are you adjusting? Are you spending time with Him? Go through this list again. Take your bulletin, go through it again. Apply it to God and your love for God. And see if your love matches up to what God has loved, how He's loved us, and how He expects us to love others. My thoughts probably not. This morning, if you're here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, it is my desire that you hear about the love of God and how He wants us to treat other people. And that you'll see that love in us today. And you'll want to be like us, filled with His grace. You go with His love and treating other people with the way God treated us. I'm hoping and praying that you'll God's Spirit will touch your heart and you'll realize that you need His everlasting salvation this morning. If you're here today and you're a child of God, but you're not loved, go through this list again and realize the reason why maybe you don't have the relationships with people that you have is because you haven't followed those examples. But you've been trying to put people in the box, your box. So as we sing today, I don't know what God's doing anymore, but whatever it is, would you come today and would you make that right?